Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you live from the studios at Waves of Glory. Let us apologize this morning. We came in just a few seconds late, experiencing technical difficulty, but that's just what we want to talk about today, about the struggle. Anytime we come into conflict of any kind, any type of resistance, we talk about struggle. And our topic today is called The Struggle is Over. Too often we pick up the habits of a subculture here in the earth. We pick up the world culture. We pick up world slang. And one of the phrases that is trending right now is the struggle is real. When the world talks about the struggle is real, it is usually in reference to life struggle with financial and economic struggle, with relationship struggle, the problems, situations, or circumstances that arise there, or really the day-to-day living where we run into things that oppose our particular goals in life. But in the kingdom of God, this is what I really want to stress to the people of God today. In the kingdom of God, we are not to take up the mantras and declarations of the world. Because we know without a shadow of a doubt that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And it is time that we, as the people of God in the earth, begin to cause the kingdom of God to be made manifest through the declarations that we are making with our mouths. And so some couple of years ago, the Lord gave me a word for the body of Christ, and that word is, the struggle is over. One of the things that Jesus preached in his very first debut on the scene as a minister of the gospel, found in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, and I believe it was in Luke, the book of Luke, when Jesus turned to Isaiah 61 and read these words, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." And in our society today, when that phrase, the struggle is real, began to be used and began to be reused, it was in reference to life's struggles, trying to get ahead financially, trying to pay the bills, trying to make ends meet. And it came out of the cry of a person. That it rains in the earth, that it is now high time that the people of God take part in that spirit of poverty and break the yoke, that it is time for us to preach the good news to the poor. And I know religious circles say that the good news is that Jesus came and died for our sin. But that news about salvation is not just for the poor. That's for every creature, every human being, whether they be rich or poor. So then definitely the Spirit of the Lord was talking about a particular message for the poor, apart from those who are rich or who are those who are really getting along well. We need to remember that Jesus spoke to the people of God where they were. He used terminology. He spoke into their right now moments. He spoke right into their chronological moments. And so we have to go back and see what was it like for the poor in the time when Isaiah spoke this word, this prophetic word from God, and what was it like for the poor when Jesus himself went into the temple, picked up the scroll, and turned to the place where Isaiah prophesied to the people of God through the unction of the Spirit of God. And he said, I want you, God said, I'm anointing you to preach good news to the poor. That glory to God makes me excited because that lets me know that God has a specific message for the poor today. And that message to you today is the same as it was in the days of Isaiah. It is the same message that was in the days of Jesus where he declared to them, the struggle is over. And he did not just declare it with his words that the struggle is over, but he demonstrated through the manifestation of the miraculous provision that he made when he encountered the poor. Amen. When we look into the wilderness twice, Jesus took a little and caused it to be morphed into more than enough. At one point, he took two fishes and five loaves and fed 5,000. And then he took again a few fishes and seven loaves and fed 7,000 in two separate instances. So he's letting us know by that demonstration that the struggles of life are in the hand of God and that the victory over those struggles are in the power of God. And that is, my friend, good news to the poor. The good news is that your needs are met in God. The good news is that there is no longer lack and insufficiency, that you have the power to overcome lack and insufficiency in your life when you are in Christ Jesus. Now, this word that I'm preaching, a word of prosperity, is to the person who has given their heart and their lives over to God, has given their lives over to Jesus, has made him Lord and Savior. And then the people of God mistake this particular message, the message of prosperity, and think that we are trying to supersede the message of salvation, that we would rather preach prosperity than preach the precious blood of the Lamb. But the point is this morning is that the message of the precious blood of the Lamb is going to cause us to move towards the message of prosperity. And I can prove that to you in the scriptural verse here. It tells us in Psalms, I believe, 35:27, that the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servants. Prosperity is not the mind of the messenger. Prosperity is not a thought or perspective that comes from the messenger, but prosperity comes from the mind of God. And the word of God lets us know here in Psalm 35, verse 27, that the Father delights in the prosperity of his servant. I mean, God is sitting high. His streets are paved with gold. His walls of jasper and precious stone, and his gates are made of pearl. Why in the world would he want his servants, his children, his sons and daughters to wallow in abject poverty? It just does not make any sense when we know that he loved us so much that he was willing to give his only begotten son so that we might have life and that more abundantly, so that in Christ we also recognize that through him he will also give us all good things. I pray today for those in the body of Christ who buck and get upset about the message of prosperity. We are not saying and declaring that the message of prosperity is more important than the message of salvation from sin. But when you talk about the word salvation, we understand that salvation is for the whole man. It's not just for your soul. It's not just for your spirit, but it's for your living, is for your life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the wicked one, the enemy comes, the thief he is called there, comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he was talking about in the natural life that God had purposed for Adam and Eve in the garden, that the serpent interjected, and through the serpent, the thief came and stole and killed and destroyed the life, the abundance of life that God intended from day number one. But Jesus says, I am come. In other words, he is come to reverse every negative thing that happened in the garden. And Adam and Eve lived in prosperity in the Garden of Eden. They lived in abundance. There was nothing lacking, nothing missing. Everything they needed was provided by the Most High God. There was no struggle as real in Adam and Eve's life before the entrance of Satan into the serpent. There was no struggle as real. But now, in today's vernacular, this phrase was coined by a people that were struggling in day-to-day existence. And then it became culturally trendy to use the term "the struggle is real" until it no longer had any power to talk about or to refer to the struggles of life that were serious. But now, ironically, it can also be used for the petty and the mundane. It has been made a joke. It's been made into a cliche so that anytime you encounter any little thing that is go contrary to your desire, we as a people will say the struggle is real and it has become a joke and we laugh about it. But when it was first coined, the struggle is real, it was definitely talking about the difficulties of life. Hey, glory be to God. But I have a word for you today, those of you who are in the struggle, the real struggle, who are suffering today, who are in lack, who are in, maybe you are having some problem in your physical body where you need healing, and you have a lack of wholeness and wellness, and you might say, in the vernacular of the world culture, that the struggle is real. But my Bible tells me that for the child of God, we are supposed to say that the weak is to say, "I am strong," and the poor is to say, "I am rich." Ah, we say that because our tongue has the power, because we have the Spirit of God in us. Our tongue now has been empowered to create. Oh, koshata. So when we open our mouth and declare that the struggle is real, what we are declaring is that lack is real, difficulty is real, a continuous and perpetual problem is going to be real in our life. Insufficiency is real, and we think that that's being cute and that's being hip. But I want to tell you today, it's time to turn your life around by turning your conversation around and begin to speak in the language of heaven. You have the power of God in you. Therefore, use that power to create the life that God himself designed for you. It is a life of abundance. If you look again, John 10:10, you will see that Jesus declared, "I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly." And that life, ladies and gentlemen, is not just eternal life, but it is the life that we are to live here in the earth so that we can be witnesses for God, so that men can look upon us and see that God is with us. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 10:22 that the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no painful toil with it. It lets us know in Isaiah chapter 1 that if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. It is the plan of God to reward his people with prosperity. And prosperity financially, prosperity in relationship, prosperity in our relationship with one another, in our careers, in our mental capacity, in our emotions, in our soul. I believe it is in 3 John verse 2 that says, "Beloved, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper." That covers the whole gamut of life. Prosperity, healthy, wealthy, and wise is what every human being is looking forward to in life today, and especially the poor. I think the word of God tells us, "Blessed is the one who is poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth." Not heaven, but the earth. God bless you today. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you from Waves of Glory. We'll see you this week on Thursday, the National Day of Prayer. Come back and join us in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.